Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming the program author Bud Phelps, and Bud is the author of Gibbons Secrets, A Boy's Memories of the 40s. Bud was an accountant for various manufacturing companies, starting with Jolly Rancher Candies in 1958. He was involved with management from a corporate accountant, controller, treasurer, and his last position was president. He's written a nonfiction business book, Cover Your Nut, Practical Accounting in Plain English for the Real World, which he utilizes in teaching a practical accounting and QuickBooks startup class for Southeast Community College in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's currently writing his third book, Time Traveling Back. Bud, how are you?
I'm fine, Don.
Well, let's start with the big question. Tell us about this book, please.
Well, this book is my memories of living in Gibbon during World War II, and I'm trying to depict life on the home front. It just gives the feeling of what it was like then versus now. I think it would show people how kids ran around and what they did, the games they played, and the things that they enjoyed then versus kids today.
So who did you write this book for specifically?
Originally, I wrote it for my family, and the deeper I got into the book, I was thinking of, well, you know, a World War II vet, a Korean vet, would find this book interesting because of the timeline of the battles of World War II all being embedded in the book. So I kind of changed the scope of who I was writing it for, which was initially, as I said, the family. And it expanded into the general public that had an interest in World War II.
Now, is there a central message or an underlying theme that runs throughout the book?
I think the central message, as far as my goal, was to depict some of the things that boys saw and did that was interesting at that point in time in their life versus the same 9 through 12-year-olds today, what they do to find things interesting and enjoy as they're growing up. It's a book that just shows you what really happened on that home front in World War II, how we felt, what we thought about the war, and how we went about our daily lives.
So what are some of the secrets that you're revealing here?
Well, if I told you all the secrets, then no one would read the book. But I'll tell you a hint of a couple. There was a stranger in our area that I ran across who approached me, actually, and he scared me. Well, that stranger ends up a secret in the book, the solution of who he is and why he was there. Another secret was when us kids would play in the big red barn across the street, I told my friends that eating those pressed pellets of alfalfa molasses would give them superpowers as they flew off of the rafters in the barn. Well, that was a secret that we kept from our parents and our sisters because they wouldn't understand eating horse feed in the pressed pellet form. So it was kind of a fun secret. Another secret was when my sister had her birthday party and I was dressed up as a mammy. From the theme, it was a theme party, and from the movie Gone with the Wind, I was the mammy. And I didn't speak, and she didn't know who it was till the end of her party. That was another secret that was revealed in the book.
Okay, we're talking about some things that happened back in the 1940s here. How did you remember the details of growing up?
I remembered a lot of the stories just because what had been written down for me. My dad, as an example, gave me 3 scrapbooks that he had collected and prepared over the time frame of World War II. And a friend of mine that still lives in Gibbon gave me some of the old mimeograph forms for the plays that we put on for the grade school. And talking to my my friends still exist. They're still around, and we talk about some of the things that happened back then just as a good memory discussion. So I did not have a tape recorder around my neck, which would have been handier. Then I could have remembered everything.
Now, did your father contribute to the war effort, and if so, how?
Well, my dad had three small trucks that he hauled produce for the farmers. He hauled corn and beets, sugar beets, and he also was one of the ones that hauled the first load of gravel when they were building the Kearney Air Base in Kearney, Nebraska. He also hauled gravel when they built the ordnance plant in Grand Island. So all of his efforts in the ownership of his trucks was actually helping the war effort, either through hauling the grains, hauling the gravel to build the plants and the runways. He was very much contributing.
Now, did your mother really work on a bomb line, and what's a bomb line?
Well, there was an ordnance plant in Grand Island, and she trained to be a supervisor on the bomb line. The ladies would stir the bomb ingredients with these wooden paddles as it was filling the bomb, and it would settle the ingredients down. They had to keep that ingredient hot because it would then be in a non-explosive state. It was wet and hot. And one day, one of her workers, the lanyard that had held the wooden pallet, came off of her wrist, and the pallet started to fall. The paddle started to fall down into the bomb. She reached down into that hot liquid and caught it and pulled it out. Otherwise, it could have caused an explosion right there on the bomb line. And that lady had to be rushed to the hospital with the skin on her hand peeling off from that hot liquid in the bomb. Yes, that was quite an experience. In fact, the ordnance plant had a Christmas party for us kids, and all of the ladies that worked on the bomb lines brought their kids to the Christmas party.
So are the historical dates found throughout the book, are they the actual dates?
They are the actual dates. And to verify the dates were all actual, I went into the internet and checked some of the dates that were shown in my dad's scrapbook, verified all of them, and created a timeline of battles of World War II from that. And so every date that I use in those areas were all true dates.
So were the five friends forever you mentioned in the book, was that a real situation? Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, four of the friends that I ran with are in the picture on the cover of Given Secrets. The ones in the picture, there's a young man with a tall top hat, and his name was Duncan McGregor. He's clear at the far right end of the picture. And the third one from the right is Wally Buchanan, one of the other friends. And then clear, the third from the left is Donnie Hawk, the fourth friend. And Stanley Sylvester, the fifth friend, was not in the picture. And he died early on in his life because of the seizure problems that he had. They're all true friends, and they were all ones that I specifically ran around with in grade school.
Now, did you really have a Gibbon Commando headquarters?
Yes, we did. And I don't think they could do that today, but here was a vacant lot, and we just dug a trench about 5 foot deep and maybe 25 foot long, put wood planks on top, and put dirt from our diggings on top of the wooden planks, so we had a camouflaged commando headquarters right there on that vacant lot. It was fun to pretend that you were part of the British commandos out saving the empire. Anyway, that's what we did, and I think everybody would get a kick out of how kids could create something like that on their own.
What about the Gibbon Diner? What can you tell us about that?
Gibbon Diner was interesting. My granddaughter wanted to be in my book, and her name is Kaylin Lorraine. So I used the name Lorraine, says it's because it was more of an old-fashioned name, and created a diner along Highway 30 for Kaylin to work at as a waitress. Well, when I was at a reunion and talking about my book, I heard a couple ladies discussing the diner, and they were arguing about where the diner was on Highway 30. And I was getting a chuckle out of this because I created the diner. I found out later that there really was a diner after 1946 or 47 that was built right on Highway 30. So I created a diner in the book, and actually a diner was built later on.
Now, what about your grandfather Phelps? Was he really a cobbler?
Grandfather Phelps, there's a picture of his home in the book, at the back of the book, and there's a shed to the right of, or to the left of his house that was actually his cobbler shop where he fixed shoes. And I really love to go into that shop and have the smell all the smells of the leather and the polish. And he was quite a guy. Did a good job on repairing shoes. Very interesting.
Now, your neighbor's son, was he home on leave? I think you said December 7th, 1941?
You bet. Dale Pitke was home, and we were at his parents' house for dinner on that Sunday. And we all were sitting there enjoying the Sunday dinner when we heard the news on the radio. And Dale immediately had to call headquarters in San Diego to report back to duty in the Navy. His ship, the USS Arizona, was sunk in Pearl Harbor, therefore losing a lot of his close friends and all of his personal belongings. It was a traumatic thing for him, but very fortunate that he was home on leave.
Now, is everybody in this book a real character?
Well, as I said, I created my granddaughter, Lorraine, and there were a couple others that were created, but I would say that 90% or maybe 95% of the characters in the book were real characters, were real people.
So other than selling this book, of course, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, I've already accomplished some of my wishes in that I've had people tell me that I've renewed their interest in World War II and the history behind World War II. My goal really was that, is keeping that history alive and showing exactly what the home front had to go through in support of the war effort. And patriotism, I was hoping that this book would emphasize patriotism, which we need to have emphasized more and more every day.
So in your opinion, who should buy this book?
In my opinion, the young people should buy the book just to gain some history for themselves. The older people should buy the book as a memory of their own, triggering what they did when they were growing up. And the middle of the road, the middle people, the middle-aged people, they'll enjoy it because they've heard some of these stories from their folks.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
You can buy the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any of the local bookstores because Ingram Distributing distributes my book, Given Secrets. It's available across the country.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Bud Phelps, and Bud is the author of Gibbon's Secrets, A Boy's Memories of the 40s. Bud, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Don.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the author's marketing powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.